Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Would you look there with me this morning? Romans, chapter 8. Sometimes we read or even quote very familiar places in the Bible, and it's so familiar to us that we don't really pay much attention to it, or at least not as much as we should. Last week we spoke from Philippians 4 and 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise that is. We're going to look at some other verses like that. I guess that we could call them like famous verses, well-known verses. And this is from Romans 8 and 28 through 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 through verse 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now here's the key verse. What shall we say to these things? What things is he talking about? All the things in the previous chapter here. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a great verse. What a great promise from God's word. If God is for us, who can be against us? I think all Christians pretty much are pretty well aware of the kind of situation that we're in right now in the United States of America. We live in a country that's very unfamiliar and very much unlike this country was back 30, 40 years ago. Things have changed. I went to elementary school in the early 60s, and it was a rough time. I mean, there were things going on in our nation that were difficult. I, of course, was too young to know all about that. But what I do remember that in my public school that they pledged allegiance to the flag every day. They read the Bible. As a matter of fact, some of the teachers had us memorize sections of Scripture in our public school classroom. And we came back every day and would take on more and more of different portions of Scripture. So things like prayer, Scripture, patriotism, things that then we took for granted today, even the high level of morality that seemed to be respected and honored at that time, today is not at all respected like it was then. Back then, I can remember pastors, ministers of the gospel, they were very respected, very honored, even in the community, very honored. Things have changed, and things are changing, and many of the changes are not necessarily for the good. We recognize that we're living in a world that's somewhat hostile toward the truth and toward the gospel, toward Christian values, and just the Word of God in general. Not interested in what the Bible has to say. So we know that's true. That's the kind of environment that we are living in. But at the same time, we're living in a world where there's this step up and increased activity as far as demon activity and the dark spiritual things that are happening around us today. So it almost seems like we're surrounded, and there's all kinds of things that are against us, opposing us, and it feels like, well, the best thing to do is just kind of hide somewhere until Jesus comes and not have to face all of the conflicts and all of the things that are going on in our world today. But what about the Word of God? What about the promise that I just read to you today? This is a wonderful promise. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This was a statement of the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, Romans is considered to be the greatest statement of Christian doctrine in all the Bible. I believe it to be true. And most that believe that also believe that Romans chapter 8 is the greatest of the chapters in the book of Romans. Deals with so many important aspects of the doctrines of the church and for the believer. And so, what should we say to these things? What things is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that in this chapter, it describes that we are justified and not condemned. It talks about that there's no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. It talks about the fact that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It talks about that we're to be filled with the Spirit and that the Spirit intercedes in prayer on our behalf. It talks about that the Spirit even groans groanings that can't be normally, naturally understood, but the Spirit is able to communicate by His Holy Spirit and to pray prayers, effective prayers, that we couldn't pray in our own flesh. Chapter 8 is so filled with so many wonderful truths that it's really like the Apostle Paul is just stopping and saying, so, what can we say to all these things? This is so wonderful. This is so great. What can we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? I think we need to personalize that. We need to make that for us individually. We need to make that for us as a body, as a church, as a community of Christian believers, as a local New Testament church. We need to take hold of this promise. And that promise is, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter of the darkness and all the wickedness and all the demonic activity, all the things that are happening in these last days. God is for us. Praise God. And just let that sink down deep into your heart and into your spirit. God is for us. I don't know. Paul might have been making reference to Psalm 56. This is in Psalm 56. David is surrounded by his enemies. He's down at Gath. He's surrounded by all these Philistines and enemies. And in that psalm, he says, "Man would swallow me up." I'm finding daily oppression every day. Verse 2, "My enemies want to swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." And then in verse 5, "Every day they wrest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil." And then verse 9, "When I cry unto the Lord, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Praise God. Amen. David was surrounded with the enemies of the people of God, the Philistines. They wanted to destroy him, swallow him up. They wanted to defeat him. They wanted to wrest his words and to catch him in a trap. They were continually after him to destroy him. He was surrounded by them, but he said, "But I just cried out to God. I cried out to the Lord, and when I did, my enemies turned around. They turned away from me. I cried out to the Lord, and my enemies turned back. This I know, for God is with me." Be encouraged here this morning as I prayed and prepared for this service. I kept feeling in my spirit that people needed a reminder. God is for you. God is for you. God is not against you. God is for you. God will help you. God will strengthen you. He will heal you. He will provide for you. He will work in your behalf. And you need to lay hold of that wonderful promise today that God is for us. And if He's for us, who can be against us? There's no enemy. There is nothing that the enemy could raise up against you if you have put your faith and your trust in the Lord. Another place in the Old Testament, this same theme. When Jerusalem is surrounded by the Assyrians, And they've come up to bring to destroy them. And somehow the king, Hezekiah, rises up in faith and begins to cry, "Be strong, be courageous. Don't be afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all of the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him." Praise God. "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." Praise God. We have the Lord fighting our battles. We have the Lord with us. We not only have the Lord with us, we have the power of the Spirit of God with us. We have the united body of Christ. When we bind together and unite together, there's a great deal of power and influence. And whenever we are working, praying, believing together, there's a great deal of influence that happens whenever we bind together. And I really believe that what God is wanting us to understand is that we kind of slip into a mentality of survival. Oh, if I can just get through this day, if I can just get through this week, I've got all this trial, all this problem, all these circumstances, all these things that are surrounding me, and I don't know how that I could ever get through it or face all of these problems that are around me. And we get into that place where we develop a mentality, I just got to survive. If I can just make it, Lord, just help me to survive. If I can survive, then I'll make it. If I can make it till Tuesday, if I can make it till Friday, if I can make it till next week, if I can make it till next month, it won't be long until you'll be saying, "Oh, I'll be so glad when Christmas is over with. I'll be so glad when it's over. If I can just make it to January the 1st, and then we'll start complaining about how cold it is. Then we'll start saying, "Oh, if I can just make it to February or March, to warmer weather, and we're just looking to survive." That's not the will of God. That's not the plan of God for the church or for his people at all. We have not been called to just survive all these attacks of the enemy and all the pressures of your life. You're not called to just survive. As the song says, we were made to thrive. We were made to move forward. We were made to make progress and to overcome and to live in power and to live in victory and to progress and to grow and to move forward and to take territory and on and on. In this present situation, it seems like a time to just kind of find a hiding place, but that's not the plan of God, nor is it the will of God. When Jesus came into this world, he was not received by his own. He was rejected of men. He faced a lot of opposition. And for a while, he had the multitudes and the crowd following him. But it didn't take very long for that crowd to get thin and Jesus to be alone. And it seemed like an utter defeat. He goes to the cross, and then he comes out of the tomb. And then we realize, none of it was a waste. None. It was all a part of the plan of God. And when he came forth out of the tomb, he provided power and victory for every one of us to be born again, to know him in a personal way. And the church could be born in life and power and vitality. And that's what God has called us to be. Jesus survived some of the most dark and difficult times. The disciples also, all but one of them was martyred. They suffered much for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went through a lot of different circumstances. But they also were the ones who turned the known world upside down with the gospel. They were also the ones that spread the gospel throughout Asia and even into Europe to all of the known world. Even with all of the haters and the opposers and the darkness of that age, the church thrived. The church grew. The church was moving forward by the power of the Spirit of God. And that's what God has called you and me to do, is to look beyond the darkness and the trials and the opposition and all of the things that Satan is wanting to do in these last days and hold on to the promise of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is fighting our battles, we're not going to lose. If God is for us, we are going to win. Philippians 2 and 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of or in the middle of a crooked and a perverse nation. That's where we are right now. We're in a country, we're in a nation, we're in a culture today that is crooked and perverse and far, far from God and moving further away from the Lord. But in the middle of all that, he says we are to shine as lights in this world. Amen. The light is turned up and the gospel is proclaimed. And in the midst of the darkness and the difficulties of the hour that we're living in right now, the church is to thrive. The church is to shine bright. The church is not to take a tuck head and be ashamed or hide away somewhere. It's to go forth with faith and confidence and be a light in this world. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. So the church needs to be on the move. On the move. When it seems like a time when Satan wants to stop the church from progressing and stop a move of God and stop what God is wanting to do in these dark times. At the same time, we are to be a people that see beyond all of these things and recognize that if God is for us, who could be against us? If God is for us, how could there be any force that could rise up against us? How could there be anything that Satan could do to destroy what God plans and God intends through the ministry of the body of Christ? God has a big plan, and we need to get in step with that plan. Amen. What God is wanting to do. Of course, the promise to the church, then, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and quoted from the prophet Joel as to the things that were going to be happening in this New Testament church. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. What were those days? Well, Peter stood up that day and he said, this is that. This is what Joel talked about hundreds of years ago. This is that being fulfilled right now. What you've witnessed on the day of Pentecost, what you've witnessed with this outpouring of the Spirit, this is what Joel prophesied. This is that. And we still live in that wonderful church age. It hasn't come to a close. We still live in the age of the church and the power of the Spirit of God that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And all throughout the book of Acts is still at work today. And God is for us. God is for us. Praise the name of the Lord. So Satan wants to oppose the victory. But God has provided the victory through a resurrected Jesus. Amen. And there's not one thing that Satan can do to stop unless we allow ourselves to be stopped, paralyzed in our own flesh and can't see that we can, by the power of the Spirit, move forward and do what God has called us to do. Praise the Lord. The disciples were martyred. They were, some of them, gruesomely murdered, but somehow the church thrived. The church moved forward, and God used them and used even their circumstances, and the church was pushed forward and moving forward. And it's the will of God that that same thing be happening in our lives and every one of us individually here. It's never the will of God for you to come to the Lord and then just stand still and never make any more progress. It is the will of God that, yes, you be born again of the Spirit, but then from that day forward, you are progressing. You are growing in the knowledge of the Lord. You are being continuously filled with the Spirit, moving forward in the power of the Spirit. And that's what the church becomes. It becomes this group of normal, average people that are made mighty and dynamic by the power of the Spirit of God. And then we are able to move forward by the power of His Spirit. That's why we're praying. That's why we're seeking the Lord. That's why, as a church, we're reaching forward. We're believing God. We're putting our confidence in the promise of God, because we believe that if God is for us, that we are an invincible group of people. There's nothing that God, that the enemy can do to stop the progress. So we move forward by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we move forward by the fact that we've had the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. There's no greater force in the world than the love of God being demonstrated to a world that is in such need. This world needs Jesus. And they need a church that stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ and presents this wonderful message that God so loved the world and he provided a way for you to be forgiven from your sins. Praise the Lord. That ought to propel us forward to witness to people, to talk to people, to be an influence in our community, to be an influence. Well, I believe that voting is a very important thing for every Christian to do. I do not believe that it is as valuable or as important as a church that is energized by the power of the Spirit of God as far as making an impact and an influence upon our community. It's only by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. So in the great times of opposition and darkness and trying times, these great times of opposition really are just days of opportunity for the church. God specializes in taking the things that are against you and turning them around and empowering you and propelling you forward to be what God would have you to be. Praise the Lord. So the Spirit-filled believer, you can't stand still. You can't stay where you are. You have to be progressing, growing, developing, gaining more and more knowledge of the Lord, moving in the and growing in the things of the Spirit of God so that you can move forward and be what God has called you to be. Praise the Lord. We know that God is with us and we know that we must have His vision. His vision. Amen. Without a vision, people perish. The church perishes, but just think of the vast numbers of people that are around us in our community, in this region, that don't know the Lord. I know it's hard to believe with so many churches in a community such as we live in, but yet there are still thousands of people. You can walk out the doors of this building during Sunday morning, and you'll find vast numbers of people who never go to the house of God. They have no spiritual interest. They're far, far from God. And we must have a vision, not only for God to work in our lives individually and in the church, but we need a vision for our community and for a move of God, a sweeping move of God. We need a vision for the people that live right here within our reach. God, give us a vision to see that in these times, difficult and challenging times, God wants to fill up the house of God with people that are needy and hungry and seeking for help. And they can find that in the presence of God right here. But we got to have a vision for that. We got to believe God for that. Amen. Is it uncomfortable? I'm telling you, we have to be willing to embrace the possibility of some change too. If 50 new people were walking into this place next Sunday morning, or 100 new people, or 150 new people were walking into this place on any given Sunday, some of you would probably lose your long beloved seat that you've sat in for a long time. Yeah. The whole atmosphere would probably be different, be changed. That's okay. It's okay. Lord, ruffle the feathers. Change things up, Lord. Help us to have a vision for people. If we have to sit somewhere that we haven't warmed up the seat already, Lord, help us to be willing, Lord, to accept them and to love them and to bring them into the family of God and to do all. We got to have a vision for it before it's ever going to happen. We have to have a vision to believe that God wants to do it and will do it. And we must believe that He's at work in these last days. I'm confident that He is and that He wants to move. If every church building in this county was filled to capacity, there would still be hundreds and thousands of people in this region that don't know the Lord and don't go to church. We have a harvest field. We have an opportunity right here within our reach. God, give us a vision for them and to be moving forward. And we should have always the confidence and the courage, because we always have our back. He says, I'm for you. I'm for you. I'm going to fight this battle for you. I'm going to be strengthening you, empowering you, and pushing you forward, and giving you the words to say, and giving you an opportunity to make an impact upon this community. Praise the name of the Lord. Our church should be known as a place of prayer, a place where people can come and they know that there are people that know how to touch God in their situation that they're in. One of the things that was really so overwhelming to me when we visited Brooklyn Tabernacle Church a few weeks ago was the fact that while Pastor Simba was preaching, he said, right now, there were hundreds of people in a prayer room on Sunday morning. There's hundreds of people in a prayer room, and they're praying for me as I stand here and preach. Wow. Wow. What an amazing thing. And I tell you, all through those meetings and those services, I sensed this weightiness, this heaviness, this presence of God in that sanctuary, in that place. And they're making an impact in that dark city for the gospel's sake, because they're a place of prayer. God can make us a house of prayer to pray for our community and to pray for the nations around the world. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Don't be afraid of it. Step out in faith and believe that God is going to do it. God is for us. The apostle said, what can we say to these things? What can we say to all these wonderful promises of God that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? What can we say to the fact that he says that we are justified and we are not condemned? What can we say to the fact that the Holy Spirit comes and intercedes on our behalf? All these wonderful truths in Romans chapter 8. And then Paul just stops. It's almost as if he's getting his breath to say, wow, what do you say to that? What do you say to this? What can we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Praise God. So all of that down in the mouth, defeated, discouraged, hopelessness, that sometimes you just feel yourself overwhelmed with, look to God and look to his word. Amen. Look to his word and ask the Lord, Lord, give me a newfound faith and a confidence. You're for me. You're for us. You're behind the work of the ministry. You're behind the work of the church. And we are going to be able to move forward in faith and in confidence. Praise the name of the Lord. We are not created to just survive. We are created to thrive and to grow and to advance and to move forward in this present age. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Let's stand together, everyone, and let's lift our hands toward heaven, and let's thank God that he's provided hope for every believer and hope for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Jesus.